Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, pod people, and welcome back to Classic Ads from Simpler Times, recorded today live in Tony Williams' kitchen here in sunny Perth, Western Australia, where the time is 20 past 1987, and we've just been dropped back into a lockdown because some bellend from Melbourne got COVID, then went for a chicken parmy in Cardinia before dropping in at Coles so he could fuck up a long weekend for 2.8 million people. UK listeners probably have little sympathy over a mere three-day lockdown when they haven't been outside since April last year, but let's be honest, if you live in Britain, you probably don't want to go outside anyway when the entire place is ankle deep in litter and smells like a tramp's arse most of the time. Anyway, why not block out the darkness by listening to me, has-been advertising suit Steve Cook and Matt Lawley's premier noodle expert and TV commercial director Tony Williams, as we explain how Colonel Dietrich got a face transplant, before moving on to find out whether Tones would leave Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie, how long it takes to train a crack squad of squirrels to crack nuts, and whether the leader of the Mujahideen Brigades has a future in advertising. Yes, welcome to the episode where Tony reveals that his cold, shriveled heart has no room in it for even one of the 250,000 colourful bouncing balls used in today's ad for Sony's Bravia TVs. The levels of downbeat on display from Western Australia's foremost Jimmy Savile impersonator will remind some of our listeners of the Lego Kipper ad, where the absence of Tommy Cooper led to Tony sitting in the studio for an hour and a half, displaying the face he usually reserves for a difficult poo. It's true, pod people. Tony's an absolute fucking fun sponge in this one, behaving like a man from the near future, where happiness has been banned and everyone has to walk to work in bare feet over paths strewn with Lego. But we, that's you and I, can rejoice together. For it's 2005, 100 million people in Indonesia are sat in the dark, devastated because they can't watch Ken Barlow get married again. More importantly, Fallon London is about to get a gold line at Cannes after buying every ball in the contiguous United States. Enjoy today's listen, won't you?
Have you, just without being funny, do you remember the ad?
Let's get started and I'll tell you.
Okie dokie. Let's go.
Let's get ready to bumble.
Welcome back, Tones.
Hello, Stephen.
I think do you know what? Let's just stop there and I'll put some batteries in the recorder.
Oh, it's very echoey.
I know, I turned it up a little bit. I don't think it's that echoey.
Major Tom. Is it?
Ground control to Major Tom. Okay, Tones, welcome back. Let's have another go. Battery's in. Everything's turned on. It's even recording this time.
Oh, good.
We're going back to 2005.
2005. That's not that long ago, is it?
16 years ago.
I think, oh, go on. I'm sure you're going to tell us what happened that year, but I've got some, yeah.
Have you got memories? Tell me what your memories are.
My first son was born.
Memory. He's a carnage of my mind.
Sorry, can you throw it out? The pub's closed now.
The pub singer's on his world tour.
Does that have
some memories? How do we
I thought you were going to sing Elaine Page, Chess.
2005, YouTube is launched.
YouTube is launched, yeah, quite correct. The first video was...
Isn't it called, wasn't it something like We're at the Zoo something like
it
that?
It was A Day at the Zoo or whatever, and that was the YouTube founder.
So,
and from then on, it's been full of pussy cats. Pussy cats. We interrupt this broadcast.
Surgeons in France carried out the first human face transplant. Guess who it was on?
John Travolta and Nick Cage.
No, it was on
Castor Troy.
It was Colonel Dietrich.
Oh, sorry. That's American names. They just called me Brulé.
Dave Allen, Luther Vandross, and Noriyuki Morita all died.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Noriyuki Morita?
I don't know.
Better known as Pat Morita.
Oh, Pat Morita. Oh, Daniel-san. Wax on, wax off.
Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi. From Miyagi-Do.
The words glamping and sexting were officially added to the Oxford English Dictionary.
Wow. I wonder if people were glamping when they were sexting. Probably not.
I like this one. Indonesia suffered the world's best power cut.
You like this?
How many people do you... You know, because you... When I was a kid, we used to have power cuts all the time, especially in the winter. But it'd be like half of our village, which was like 50 people or something. So they had a power cut in Indonesia. How many people do you reckon?
Oh, 75,000?
100 million.
No, there's not 100 million people in Indonesia.
Yeah, it's like the...
100 million?
Yeah.
100 million? There's not.
I think Indonesia is the third largest country in the world by population after India and China.
I know there's about 40 islands.
Not the best of starts, but let's look on the bright side. At least the recorder's turned on today. Indonesia's population of 271 million people actually ranks fourth in the list of the most populous nations, behind the US with 330 million, India with 1.3 billion, and China with 1.4 billion. The UK ranks 21st with 66 million people, and Australia comes in at a lowly number 55 with just under 25 million people. We do, however, have Kylie Minogue and Richie Beno, so wherever you are, rest assured that we wouldn't be you for fucking quids.
But I didn't realise...
The internet told me that there was a power cut in Indonesia and 100 million people were affected.
Wow.
Lance Armstrong won a seventh straight Tour de France.
Wah, 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 wah.
History hasn't served Lance very well, has it?
No, it hasn't, was it? Dope.
History hasn't served the next chap very well either. Michael Jackson is found not guilty of child molestation charges.
I love all the children. Shamar. I was looking at a documentary on watching a documentary on his Neverland Ranch. I went to see him live. I've got to say, most amazing thing.
Really?
Like, this is before all the kiddie fiddling charges and whatever. It was absolutely incredible, except, like, you know, we're quite close and, like, just thinking, wow, watch this guy. Because, you know, he changes his pants three times per show because he loses that much weight through sweating and dancing.
You know, he's dead, right? So he's not changing his pants anymore.
Yeah, but that's when he did, right? So he's doing this big show, and then I just remember going, okay, I love you. And he looks right to the back of the concert hall and in massive letters, the word Perth, I love you, Perth. I mean, the guy didn't know where he was, did he? Didn't know whether he was coming or going.
Were you a PlayStation guy or a Xbox guy?
Back in the day, I was PlayStation.
Okay, so in 2005, Microsoft launches the Xbox 360.
Yeah, I didn't do the 360. It was a bit for elder nerds.
And PlayStation 3 was launched.
Mm.
Was that a big deal, PlayStation 3 or not?
PlayStation 3 was. I think PlayStation 3 sold more units than PlayStation 1 and 2 together in its first quarter, if I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
Didn't get that far.
Oh,
I think we're going to go back to the whole PlayStation, the Double Life review, where we went into the numbers in depth, didn't we? 2005, Tom Cruise started jumping about on Oprah's couch for some reason.
That's right.
Brad Pitt left Jennifer Aniston for...
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. Would you? Would you have left Jen for Angelina?
Yeah, I prefer Angelina. She's got a bit more edge.
Prince Harry was photographed at a party dressed as a...
As a Nazi.
He's dressed as Colonel Dietrich.
Oh, we live together. We came together. Why didn't you listen to me?
Mark Zuckerberg offered to sell Facebook to the owner of MySpace. And he turned him down.
Right.
The offer price was $75 million US.
And then there was the Winkle Bros. The Winkle Periwinkle Brothers. What was their name? The Wee Willie Winkle Brothers.
Winklevoss.
Winkle, yeah.
Twins.
The Winklevoss twins, yeah.
They look like they're made in some kind of laboratory, don't they? They look identically stupid.
They're identically rich.
I have two classic pieces of information for you now about 2005. The first one is, do you remember the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, do I remember it? Yes, good day to you, sir.
The Tim Burton version.
Oh, yeah.
There is a scene where a load of squirrels sit in front of a conveyor belt cracking nuts.
That's right.
And apparently some of them go on to be put in the chocolate if they're good enough and some of them don't.
Yeah.
Those are real squirrels. And they had an animal trainer on set for 5 months teaching 40 squirrels how to crack nuts.
You're lying.
No, you look it up.
Really? Oh, yeah. It must be true then. But
there was no CGI in that scene. They had 40 trained squirrels.
There must have been
nuts.
A bit of matting and a bit of comping, but
really?
Well, okay. Do you know the Germans can't say it? It's squirrel. You can't pronounce it. It's got some verbs in there. Like there's a great YouTube clip of watching German people trying to pronounce squirrel. So I can't say it. Squirrel.
My other favorite bit of information about 2005: Iranian terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
Is that Hook Hand? Dr. Hook? Captain Hook?
Don't know. He claimed to have kidnapped an American soldier, and a statement by the Mujahideen Brigades was sent to the media, and they identified the captive American soldier as John Adam, and they sent a photograph along with the media statement and said that if some existing male and female prisoners in US prisons were not released within 72 hours, they would behead their captive, John Adams. Pictures show that the hostage was actually an action man.
Oh, no. Really?
It was an action man.
What, just out of focus somewhat? Did they try and make it look like a real person?
It was kind of shot quite far away.
Oh, what do you keep saying to you? Enemy at the base. Enemy at the base.
Apparently, the giveaway was his eyes kept lighting up.
But his fingers looked really, really realistic, grippable. Wow.
I reckon Abu Musab could have had quite a career in advertising.
My God.
Kind of imagination.
Yeah.
He was a really good creative director.
I've got to look at that picture up. That's great.
2005. There it is. The ad that we're going to look at today.
Oh, whoa.
I've decided to...
No. Once you've got this ball running, you
really?
Can't stop.
Okay, well, I did look it up, 2005. So in 2005, Deirdre Barlow is actually Deirdre Rashid.
What?
Yes. So
she married to an action man. She gets around on Deirdre, doesn't she?
They both do. It all gets a bit, you know, they're divorced and then they're remarried and then divorced and then remarried.
Well, you can think about the writers going, oh, what are we going to do this week? You've got the same 12 people.
Ken asked Deirdre to marry her. And at first she says no because she feels like it's a marriage of convenience.
What, the Rashid one?
No, Ken asking Deirdre.
Right.
And then she relents and they agree to get married.
But he was married to her at the beginning, wasn't he?
He's been married to her about four times so far.
You don't go back to leftovers, do you?
You know, she died in real life. They had to end that storyline.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened? Did he kill her? Or did she go to Corfu and fall off like a boat or something?
I don't know. I feel like I've dug myself a hole here that I can't get out of.
You can never get that Barlow too high.
Ooh. 2005. We're going to look at an ad for Sony. The product is the Bravia TV, and the advert is known as...
Colour Balls.
It's just known as Balls.
Balls.
Ball. The agency was Fallon in London. Creative director was Richard Flintham. He was the creative director on the Cadbury's Eyebrows ad. Do you remember that?
I don't know that.
That's a really good ad, directed by Tom Kuntz.
No.
Yes.
Brilliant. Go Kuntz.
Yes. The copywriter on this ad was a bloke called Juan Cabral, who was from Argentina. He was fairly early in his career, but he did go on to work on the Cadbury's Gorilla ad.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen that. I mean, that's all right. I say I haven't seen it. I've seen it, but we should look at that.
We should look at that. Juan Cabral went on to win 19 Cannes Lions, 2 Grand Prix, a black pencil.
For what?
And he became CD at Fallon in 2007.
For what? For this ad?
No.
Oh.
But he went on to... Well, this ad did win at Cannes. We'll get onto that a bit later. The director was a bloke called Nikolai Fuglesig.
I thought it was Tom Kuntz.
No. Oh. Tom Kuntz was the director of the Cadbury's Eyebrow.
Sorry, okay.
Nikolai went on to work with Guinness, Nike, Motorola and Coca-Cola. The DOP on this ad was a bloke called Joaquim Bacá-Ace.
That'd have been Juan's friend, wouldn't it?
I think I mangled that. I think you're right. I think it's Juan's offsider.
Yeah.
Okay. Sony Balls. Do you remember anything about the ad?
I mean, funny enough, I got a Sony Bravia TV sat on the floor there with a smashed screen. I'll tell you that. Sony Balls.
Here's the ad, pod people. If you like Jose Gonzalez or you're a fan of the track, then sit back and enjoy. There's a link in the pod notes that will take you to the ad on our YouTube channel.
night to be confused, one night to speed up truth. We had a promise paid for hands and then away, both under influence. We had divine said to know what to say. Mind is a race of way to call for hands of a
The track is amazing. It's I used to listen to it on repeat on Hotel Costes compilation. Jose Hernandez, I think.
González.
Something like that. It's brilliant. It's a great song.
González.
It's an awesome soundtrack. And we are in San Francisco on, I think it's Knob Hill, which is the big big street which has got the undulating hill all the way down. And thousands upon thousands of coloured balls start bouncing from the top of the hill down the hill, interacting with everything they hit. The colour becomes quite impactful. It bounces off walls. Frogs jump out the way. It knocks over rubbish bins. And yeah, and basically at the end it says, Sony Bravia, colour like no other.
Colour like no other.
Colour like no other. And that's basically the core of the ad. Do you want my take on it now?
Yeah, go.
See, I'm very torn on this because, as I say, I love the song. I think it's completely wrong.
Ah, interesting.
The idea of the ad, I love the visuals, but the ad goes on, well, I mean, the cut I watch goes on about five times longer than it needs to. It just becomes monotonous after a while. And then when it starts hitting the dregs of like drain pipes and frogs and knocking over garbage, and you're going, where's this going with colour? And in the end, the balls never really sort of come to fruition in this big, amazing, you know, splash of colour. It just says, Sony Bravia, colour like no other. But I'm assuming you're watching it on your non-Bravia TV. So the whole strategy is just flawed. It's like watching something on a crappy TV saying, oh, colour like no other, like this ad, it's full of colour. It's not that I said I don't get it. I think it's beautiful. It stirs the emotions for a while, but then it just becomes a bit, it goes past art and then it becomes really mundane.
Let me tell you what I know about this. There is no CGI in this ad. Nicholas Fuchsleek decided early on in the piece that he wanted everything shot in camera. And originally, the idea was that they wanted to send a million balls down the street. The main street is Leavenworth Street in the Russian
Russian
Hill district of San Francisco. But they actually had to ditch the million ball idea because they couldn't find a million balls. There weren't a million balls in the US. And the ad actually ended up using 250,000 balls. Every single car in that ad is a prop.
Yeah, they are very well placed, actually. It sort of says Americana, some of them.
Yeah. And that's because the balls that they used, they were a combination, but there were a lot of, do you remember when you were a kid, you used to have super balls?
I've got them now, thank you very much.
Which were basically solid rubber, weren't they?
That you bounce on the floor and you go boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, so a lot of those balls are Super Balls, but they're quite heavy.
Yeah.
There were a lot of broken windows and a lot of quite a bit of damage done during the filming. Sony had a problem, and this ad solved the problem. The problem was that sales of Sony TVs were going down, and their research told them that consumers saw all TVs as being exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So all TVs were basically at parity, and the problem was that Sony TVs were more expensive than every other TV. And they also had a problem in that the company was seen as out of touch, because 2005 was the year that Apple launched the iPod. So digital technology was becoming more of a, coming more to the forefront. So Sony wanted to go to market and the central proposition for this campaign was that they wanted to reposition Sony as an entertainment brand rather than as a technology company. So what they briefed Fallon to do was to create an ad which didn't use any jargon, didn't talk about technology, you know, because the category at the time, from what I remember it, were LG were just beginning to get into it. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of this kind of super close up and talking about how lifelike the picture was because of X, Y, and Z. And apparently Sony went to Fallon and said, now we just want you to talk about entertainment and make it more emotional rather than feature-based.
So it's interesting because, you know, Sony's one of those TVs you buy because you know it's better quality. Like, hence, you know, that Vega there. Funny enough, I bought that, Bravia, sorry. I bought it in 2009 and it's lasted until like a month ago because you know it's better, which is an inherent problem, isn't it? Because it hasn't got the inbuilt obsolescence, so people aren't buying them again. But it's, you know, it's the trustworthy one that your dad will say, oh, get a Sony, it's, you know, much better.
So Sony's marketing director at the time said the brief was essentially to get rid of the idea that all TVs were created equally.
Mm.
I didn't know, but Bravia actually stands for something.
Beautiful, radiant and vivid.
So Bravia stands
in
for
Asia.
Best Resolution Audio-Visual Integrated Architecture.
So it doesn't then really, does it? Sort of made it up, didn't you? So quickly added another wording because at the moment it says Bavia.
I think, you know, Sony had just laid off 10,000 people in 2005. They were looking for a life raft. So the ad was designed to illustrate, I'm reading out here, reading from my notes. The ad was designed to illustrate the depth of color, detail and quality of its Bravia TVs. Hence, the picture provided color like no other.
How can anyone assume that brief's been answered when it demonstrates color? Because if my TV that I'm watching on looks great, then fuck Bravia. I wouldn't bother, you know what I mean?
Yep. I have a theory.
Unless,
as usual.
Maybe, because it's so long, maybe it's just one of those in-store things that run. Like, you know, you always see, like, the flight over New York or the crocodile snapping the chicken that you never, ever see normally, because as soon as you buy your TV, you get it back and it's home and away and you can see all the zits, right? But, you know, all the, like, the fly over the cities at night. Maybe it was an in-store demo.
I think this is actually a lot simpler than sometimes you and I make stuff out to be. I mean, essentially what they're doing is they made the brand famous, didn't they? If you're in Harvey Norman, it's like the, you know, that old idea that nobody ever got fired for buying an IBM.
Mm.
You don't want to appear stupid, do you? You don't want to spend a certain amount of money on a piece of equipment that turns out to be rubbish, whether or not it actually is rubbish. Like, I'm sure that the technical difference between an LG and a Sony is, you know, a cat's cock air. It's not, there's not a gulf in the technology. All they did with this ad was made Sony famous.
But Sony was already famous.
Yeah, but they made it famous to people who were buying TVs.
But it already was.
So it made it so that if you went into Comet and you had the choice between buying an LG and buying a Sony that was, say, I don't know, 15% more expensive, the brand was TV famous.
But Sony, yeah, but they were already there. They had the Vega before, right? Sony Vega.
Okay, so
LG came in as a cheaper alternative from Korea, right, against the Japanese Sony. So Sony were already there. So I don't know if they had to make their mark. Or maybe at that time, 2005, you know, I was in Japan at that time and I used to go into the big camera it's called and go into see these huge big TVs. Well, I say they're huge. They were like 68, 70 inches, which were huge at the time. That'd have been about $15,000. Mm. And you can buy the same TV now for about three or four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's moved on. So and they're obviously, you know, super thin as well now. Mm. I guess it was just, maybe looking at that standard, but I don't know whether they have to make a name for themselves.
I mean, I have a slight advantage on you because I've done a bit of research, but the 3 weeks after the launch of this ad in the UK, you couldn't buy a Sony Bravia TV in the United Kingdom.
they were sold out.
Well, they should have put some in
at the end of it.
Sold
them. So my argument is that they made so many TVs famous enough to sell every single one in the UK.
That's fair enough.
But you know, would you agree with that? You know, there's a print. The principle behind a lot of advertising,
it's taking the high ground,
is to make it famous, isn't it? It's like, you know, Sony TVs, Marmalade, Sony TVs, soap powder. If you're in a retail environment, you're looking for somebody to help you make a decision about buying a product, and you go in and you choose Persil because Persil was the last ad that you saw, and WPP had spent and fucking, you know.
And the guy keeps coming on your doorstep saying, "We just swap two of these."
Danny
Boyle.
No, it wasn't Danny Boyle. Danny Baker, the most annoying man.
But okay, so in that case, so that's fine. But let's just say at the end of that, I don't know, I watched like a 3-minute version, maybe 2-minute version.
So there's a 2.5-minute version.
What version actually ran?
So the 2.5-minute version was the version that aired that broke the campaign. And
so
they
ran on once on Trusted.
They ran
at the Super Bowl.
They bought the whole ad break
Super Bowl
on Sky Sports.
Oh, right, okay.
But then there was a 60 cut down, a 30 cut down, and a 20 cut down. The ads ran all across Europe, but focused on the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. I was trying to remember what I actually saw.
And it could be LG.
This could be
whatever you want.
This is really interesting.
Panasonic.
So that 2.5-minute ad has a shot of the product, which is the end frame, essentially. And it lasts 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of a TV, and it just says Sony Bravia.
But I mean, what the ad had was that talkability, right? Factor, the X factor. Yes. So people talked about it. And so they said, "Oh, did you see that Sony ad? You know, the water cooler chat."
Yeah.
But yeah, I never actually saw it on TV. I saw it on the awards reels and
I'd love to be able to say that I saw it on TV, nothing, but I didn't.
Years, you know, I saw it, and it's not one of those ads that I sort of thought, "Oh, I must watch it all." I sort of either been in the room when it was on. I've never said, "Oh, can you stop that playing again? I want to see it." It's never really grabbed me to watch because I kind of got what it was.
Right. Just to put it out there, but I mean, by a lot of measures, it was a huge success.
It was a huge success because you couldn't buy one. So were they amply stocked? Were they overstocked until they ran the commercial?
They didn't say that they ran out 2 days after the ad ran. They're saying that 3 weeks later, there were no Bravia TVs in the UK.
Was Bravia a new technology? Was this the introduction and the announcement of Bravia?
They were saying that it was effectively the brand launch of Bravia, and the technology was Looksat Notes LCD. So it was one of the very first high definition LCD screens 16 years ago.
Wow, that would have been expensive.
Sounds like a long time ago.
So I'm guessing, obviously, in Comet or Dixon's or whatever it is, they would have had a lot of info on the floor to talk about it, and probably, you know, that ad running on the screen, it would have looked amazing. But selling out from that ad, I don't know.
The Sony website got 3 million hits in the month after the ad ran. 40,000 people downloaded the ad. It's really weird. Well, it's not weird, but it shows how quickly the media landscape has moved on. They set up a special website called Sony Bravia Ad, which isn't up anymore. But you could download the ad. You could get a screensaver. You could get the you could download the making of video, and you could download the song, which was cool.
I love the song.
The song.
I don't know. I know it was Jose someone.
Jose Gonzalez.
Jose Gonzalez. But it didn't, you know, I'm sure I've seen since, for possibly Sony, possibly someone else, who knows, things like, powder exploding on the horizon, you know, massive yellow explosions shot 50 feet up in the air, blue, pink, you know, that sort of bright colour
thing. Wasn't that PlayStation?
No. I think it was for... Well, there you go, right? So maybe it was a bit of art. I don't know.
I'm kind of with you.
But that's a sort of explosion.
I'm kind of with you, and I'm kind of not with you. I actually really enjoyed sitting there for 2.5 minutes, listening to Jose Gonzalez sing Heartbeats by the Swedish duo,
that's right,
The Knife.
Yeah.
The original Knife song is a bit more spiky. Let's expose ourselves to another copyright lawsuit, shall we? Here's a bit of the Swedish duo The Knife doing their thing.
Oh,
but I really enjoyed watching it. I find it mesmerising.
Did you still... Yeah, it was for a while, but then you sort of went, yeah, more balls. And then what do you think when it hit rubbish bins and, like, there was shit coming out of the garbage can? What do you think? I'm going, what's that about? Like, were the chips supposed to look, like, super yellow, or were they supposed to look dirty?
Yeah.
The frog I could kind of live with, because, oh, yeah, I guess they sort of caught a frog.
We've already dealt with this, but, I mean, basically, you're right. They're trying to create a water cooler moment, aren't they?
Yeah, look, they've done it, right? That's what I mean. I'm torn. I think it's a beautiful piece of film. It's a great bit of media. I think as soon as you start to examine it, you know, there's a few holes there.
The most obvious idea is the visual link association of the balls with collar, right? So the strap on the ad is collar like no other.
Yeah.
A lot of balls. They're all very colourful. It's quite strange that we've got a kind of role reversal going on. You're being a bit...
sensible.
And I had a very childlike response to it. It reminded me of being a child and bouncing balls around the street.
It is. It's good. And that's fantastic. So I do agree with you.
I did sit there wanting some kind of resolution, and there isn't a resolution. You just have more bouncing balls.
Not the resolution, but in the end, you go, okay, yeah, lovely colour, but I don't get it. So as I say, unless it was a sort of journey, maybe there's a consumer experience and like the walkthrough from seeing it on the TV to going in store, seeing it on there. Maybe they did side by side comparisons they could do in the store they couldn't do on TV. I don't know. Maybe there was a familiar visual running in the shop window.
Right.
I really don't know, but maybe it's me just being short-sighted, but I don't know how you can sell. The benefit is amazing colour on your normal TV now.
There is an amazing parody that was done by Tango. So the Tango parody is done on a hill,
yeah,
but it's a street of terraced houses. And instead of the, you know, kind of iconic Dodge pickup parked on, there's a Morris Marina.
Oh, brilliant.
And a Ford Fiesta and a Cortina. And then all this fruit starts bouncing down the hill.
Lovely.
It's really good. The fruit starts bouncing. It smashes windows. It knocks it knocks flower boxes off windowsills.
That parody, the Tango one, they've got more colour in it and more zest, no pun intended, than the Sony Bravia one does.
I think it was done a while after this one as well.
You know, because they pick lots of dark colours and the fruit really pops. I think it's great.
The Tango one?
Yeah, there's more colour in there, honestly.
It's kind of slightly spoiled at the end where the
hand comes out.
The lady's face comes out of the pile of fruit.
Yeah.
She's got a bottle of Tango water or something in
there. There's more colour in there. No, I think it's great.
Okay.
So what was... You're normally good at this. What was next?
This ad went on to win a Gold Lion at Cannes.
Mm, yeah.
And it won gold at the Clio's as well.
Mm, but did it?
Yeah. What a cynic. Do you know the frog?
Yeah.
So the frog in the drainpipe was accidental.
They just happened to have
a camera. There are two people called Rafael Ochme and Mikhail Matukin did some research.
Oh, sorry, can you repeat that? Sorry.
They do some research. They basically research brainwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some research about this ad they got two sets of people, and they gave them a version of the ad with the frog in.
Mm.
And a version of the ad without the frog in.
Mm.
And their research showed...
They prefer it with no French.
The version with the frog is much more effective, apparently.
Really?
Yep.
See, the jarred me, the frog did. But then again, I was looking at it from a, you know, production and a media thing.
So it makes a bit of a joke of it, doesn't it? Because all that effort, all that pre-production, all that money, and... The bit that most people remember is the frog coming out of the drainpipe.
But what's up with the rubbish bin? I just don't get it.
There were 250,000 balls running around here, down a hill. Five cameras, 23 camera people. The balls were fired from 12 air mortars. There were three giant skips which were suspended from cranes and tipped the balls out.
That's brilliant.
Each of the three skips had 35,000 balls in it.
It's a bit insipid.
First shot required 50,000 balls to be sent down the hill.
The art direction's lovely. How they
colliding at a road junction with another 50,000 balls.
Poor dog stranded.
They had a team of 50 interns just to gather up the ball because they did six takes. It took 4 days to film.
It's been advertising glamorous.
Golf nets were erected at the size of the street and every drain was blocked.
But still, there was lots of smash windows.
Apparently.
But look at that, right? I just paused on there. There's no colour in that. You don't look at it. There's, nah.
2005. It was obviously a big deal in 2005.
Well, not really. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
Okay, so I wrote down here. This is
me.
This is what I wrote down.
Beyond, this is me, beyond the obvious visual link to the idea of colour by association with visuals, the ad evokes a childlike response. We all had bouncing balls as a child, and we all experienced the feeling of a ball running away from you. That slightly out of control, what's going to happen feeling. The ad reinforces the childlike wonder of the visuals. That doesn't really make sense, does it? By showing a child, but also an elderly person looking at the scene through a window, the bemused dog and the frog out of the drain pipe.
See, now, if they were coming down on space hoppers, right? A bunch of people coming down on colourful space hoppers, that would have been interesting. But did you write that as a summary?
Yes.
See, I'm thinking a little bit defensive, not. I don't think you've ever written down a summary before.
No, it's kind of interesting in that we've got slightly raw. You're a little bit more cynical about this. I wanted to love it. I do love it. I really like it. And I wanted to love it more because what they did was they stopped saying, oh, the screen is 70 inches and it's got X pixels and it's uses blah, blah, blah.
It wasn't one TV, was it?
And instead they said, you know, what they said was make life colourful. Mm. They made you kind of feel something beyond.
Annoyed,
obviously,
but it's not. It's an engine inside. It's not one TV. It's not. You know, it wasn't about the depth. It wasn't about the size.
I don't care.
It wasn't about.
I have no kind of dog in the fight. It made me feel something, which I think is quite rare with television advertising. Okay,
it's good. It's beautiful. It's
give us a number for the brand.
Oh,
did you know
what
after you watched?
Sorry, it's got to be a one.
Oh,
I mean, okay. I had a client, you know, which would have, probably would have been the best campaign we would have ever done in our creative lives. We sold it to 5 different territories, you know, that never normally talk. There was Europe, it was Germany, UK, North America. And it was turned down because it won't work with the volume off. Right?
Yeah, I remember you telling
it really
that.
Annoyed me. So I don't want to be, you know.
Well, it could be for anyone if you put the logo at the end.
But it could be for anyone if you put the logo at the end. The message is sort of great. Maybe it's the Coke, Pepsi. Coke did it first, that they own it. Maybe Sony own this. Maybe, you know, they probably own, you know, they took the high ground, own the territory of bright colour. And it's a bit more of a, you know, spectacle than LG did. LG would have done, I don't know, Skittles falling off the kitchen sink, I suppose, you know. So it is, it's grand, it's amazing. But for the brand, personally,
3 million hits on the website.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Casting's a bit of a weird one in this ad, in that there's a couple of peripheral.
There's
a child gazing in awe right at the very start.
I don't like it.
Actually, the child's not gazing in awe. The child looks as though they're hiding from an artillery barrage, don't they?
I don't. Yeah, there's a dog that's shit scared.
Yes, there is a dog. But it's actually worth having a look at the making of video. It's quite interesting. The entire crew are all wearing protective clothing.
From what?
Because of the balls. The camera crew kind of set up these emplacements in the middle of the street behind little barricades and just poke their heads up, and they're wearing goggles and everything. It's quite interesting.
There's another. See, the big opening of the city promises more than what comes. I'm not going to watch it the whole lot again. But yeah, I mean, I love the craft, the cars. I did notice that's beautiful. Really nice art direction, I think. But yeah, there's the dog. It's all a bit twisted. It's a bit obvious. It's like this was in the storyboard. You know, look, what should we have now? Show an old woman. To have someone looking shit. Yeah.
God.
Casting.
Two. Levels of cynical.
Two. And that's 1.9 for the balls.
So apparently they had to close off four streets, virtually a whole block in San Francisco for 2 days to shoot this. Oh, sorry, 12 streets they closed off for 2 days. And they had 50 interns who were supposed to gather up all the balls. There were 250,000 of them. And in the end, the people of San Francisco came out to help.
That's very San Franciscan.
Turned into a kind of community event. Which is
otherwise, it would have rolled. The end of that street goes right into the harbour where all the seals are. And then it's over to Alcatraz.
Can we talk about the craft? There's a bit of craft in the end.
There is a bit of craft. I'll give them that. I say the art direction is beautiful. The balls look like they're being like blown with one of those blowers in the morning.
Sorry, how do you mean?
No, that some of them just look like they've been forced down the hill.
Oh, they have. They've all been fired out of fucking air mortars. They built a load of compressed air guns, basically, to fire them out.
Were they ping pong balls? Or were they?
Super Bowl.
So the trash. Now, the trash is really colourful. What the fuck is it? What do I want to look at a bunch of bloody takeaway and... bollocks.
Okay, come on.
Craft is very good.
Talk to me about the craft.
Craft is beautiful. So, I'll give it for the craft 4.9.
Yeah, okay, and tell us, tell the both our listeners why you gave it 4.9. What is the difficulty and where's the craft?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you are dealing with a bunch of random balls flying down the hill. You've got to tell a story. And, you know, when you're trying to tell a story about something that isn't real, it's very difficult when you try and make it look real. So I think the craft is done very well. So the static shots where it's got, you know, the supporting sort of objects, like the cars are beautifully put in. So it, you know, it roots itself in normality, if you like, by all the static things like the cars, which are recognizable. And then, you know, with all these crazy balls falling down, adds the sort of bizarre wonderment. Yeah, the old woman like looking at the window going, let me out. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, if you said to somebody, right, imagine 250,000 balls flying down the street, it's very hard to imagine, right? So they've done well in that. Yeah, I mean, it's some of the, you know, like the little, there's Mr. Miyagi's truck there and the little yellow
one. Do you reckon the client took a bit of a gamble with this? It could have gone awfully wrong, couldn't it?
It could have, yeah.
Only 2 days.
A bunch of seals.
Only 2 days to set it up and shoot it.
See, it's like, I mean, there's beautiful shots. I do love the shots where they're tracking with the balls down the hill like that. Like they've obviously got a camera off the back of a rig and they're pulling it and like they're running along with the balls. Like
and they went large with the slow motion, didn't they?
Yeah. Like, see, that works. But then you go to this shot, which is a bit, and it all stops again. So it's a little bit, just as you get a bit of energy, we come to this, you know, 2/3 of the way through, and then it's back to looking at, you know, I mean, looking at a dog.
It's very difficult to describe this when we're doing audio only, but there are some shots where the backgrounds look to have been deliberately kind of grayed off. They've used a lot of contrast to get the balls foregrounded and bright. There's a lot of depth of field used by the cameras.
But then there's a lot that isn't.
Yes, so there's some beautiful arty shots and then there's some very kind of standard stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's interesting because you've got the energy of these balls at one moment and you're coming down with them, you're flying down with them, and then you're static and they sort of, you know, gathering a heap and then suddenly you're off again. Look, and then you knock over a rubbish bin with a takeaway guy. So what's that about?
I mean, I would have... If I'd have been involved in this, I would have fought quite hard to get rid of the rubbish bins.
I reckon.
I'm not sure what the value is of the frog in the drain.
I'm going to show the real people.
Not sure what the frog
is. Great. I mean, it's quirky. Yeah. It's unplanned. It's because, well, everybody remembers it, right?
This is going to make or break this ad at the moment. It's looking pretty fucking average. Creativity.
I mean, it's got to be up there, right? Because it is a beautiful piece of film and it's a great bit of media. Is it a great ad? Personally, I don't think so. But. Yeah, what do I know?
4.2.
It's a nice idea, and obviously a lot of planning went into it. But if it was mine, I'd love to say, yeah, I had the idea. At the end of the day, when I watched the online, I'd go, yeah, it's good, isn't it? You know, there'd be a little bit missing. I'd kind of go, is it really what I imagine?
12.1 points.
There you go.
Contextually, that's not very good. Well, I'm surprised. I thought that was a creative director's ad. I thought
it's a beautiful bit of film. I love the song. It's just the wrong song. It is no energy. I mean, that is a really sort of, you know, emotive track. I love it. But it's not got any, I mean, when you talk about colour, you want punch, you know, you want some power, right? I'm not talking about, you know, you don't have to have
I'm walking on sunshine. What else would you put on it?
Oh, I don't know.
What do you put behind that?
What's got colour in the name? Show your true colour. No, I'm kidding.
I thought the whole point was that it was supposed to be slightly mesmerising.
It is mesmerising. It is. But is that what colour's supposed to be? Isn't it supposed to be like get and grab you? I mean, if you're doing mesmerising, we should just put got a bucket and put some oil in it and watch the little rainbow patterns and the bubbles.
Look, in the end, I go back to my original argument. I think that the brief was make an ad that will become, that people will talk about, make us famous. And I think, I personally think they did it, whether or not it's very good.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, it's not a question. I mean, automatic, as we're talking about it, it's good. Yep. You know, we don't we pick classic ads that everyone loves. It's good. And, you know, it's, if I did it, yeah, I'm sure I'd be very happy with it.
Oh, it's interesting. I think one of the interesting things is I chose that ad, and when I first mentioned it to you, you didn't remember it. Or you did after a little bit of a prod. It's obviously something that's...
To be fair, I was in Japan at the time, so it wouldn't have run there.
Right.
Or I didn't see it, especially if it's over 8 seconds.
don't tackle.
They would have run their tag at the beginning going, it's a Sony. And then run the ad for 8 seconds, and at the end go, it's a Sony.
Isn't it funny? Because at various stages, I am prone to randomly shouting out, it's a Sony!
Really?
Because that ran in that ran in the UK for a long, long time. I can't remember the rest of the ad. All I can remember is the sting. Somebody would go, it's a Sony!
Yeah, what was that? In Australia as well, I'm sure, because that sounds familiar.
And it's kind of interesting. I don't know whether this is my Yorkshire upbringing, where I would never consider buying a Sony TV.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm not that interested in technology, and it feels like it's like it's a distress purchase.
So what would you buy?
I'd be quite happy. What was it? I'm trying to remember. It was an LG, was the last one I bought.
That's good.
But it all boils down to money, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And do you know what? A lot of the engines inside are apparently the same.
Yeah.
If you believe the people on the floor, you know, the Quangfing Group, you know, oh, they make the insides for this country. Yeah,
we know that the people at Harvey Normal only sell they sell the shit with the biggest margins on them.
Of course.
Yeah. Not the stuff that's best technology. Anyway, that's really interesting. You went all cynical on that.
No, I didn't. But can I just point that TV on the floor there? See that TV there? Yep. Can you see it? It's about stickers. I don't know, three Bibles. I don't know. What's the latest version?
When did you buy that?
2009, and only stopped working because of my son decided he wasn't having a good day on the Xbox and the controller flew out of his hands. But that's a Sony Bravia, right? And that's not. You wouldn't look at it and go, "That's high tech,"
yeah.
Right? And that's 4 years after that ad launched. But I bought it because it's high quality.
It's a Sony.
It's a Sony.
Good on you.
Well done, Juan.
That was good.
And the rest of you, Ed Fallon.
I like that a lot more than 12.1 points.
Well, would you want to cheat it?
No, not at all. I think it's interesting. Well, I mean, I feel like your...
branding was...
I do feel like your scoring comes from more of a place of understanding.
Well, no, it doesn't matter.
About the creative part.
I haven't seen the ad run, so if you showed me that ad today and said, what's the branding? You know, if I turn around to look out the window.
See, I would love to see an ad like that run today, but I don't think ads like that run anymore. Certainly not in Australia anyway. And I'm way behind the times in that I'm not watching UK or American reels anymore.
Again, but if I
saw that ad today, I would rave about it, I think.
I wouldn't say my point of view is cynical. I question the whole, maybe it was what somebody said in the creative director's room at the first dinner.
Yeah.
What if you showed on another TV app? We said, and they went, you're a wanker, you dickhead, get out. And everyone's afraid to ask. I don't know.
I don't know whether my feelings also get coloured by the...
Oh, nice use of colour.
...the suit part of me that says that. Yeah, that I've got absolutely no reason to believe that Sony would lie about selling out Bravia TVs 3 weeks after the ad ran. So let's say it was 4 weeks. They ran out of TVs in the UK. And from a suit point of view, what an amazing result. Mm. Like if I was the account director on that, and I went to the client and went, the ad ran 3 weeks ago, how are we going for sales? And the marketing director went, can't get a Sony Bravia TV in the UK anymore.
You would understand as well, right?
I'd be absolutely ecstatic.
Also, you said this is the first year of YouTube, right? So this is when you could watch things. This is before the sneezing panda, right? So this is before you'd virally share stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you tell somebody about it and they would go to a website. They'd type in www. All lowercase, no spaces. Sony ad, or whatever it was, Bravia ad.
HTTP.
HTTP, yes, yeah.
://
And so,
www.
And so people would actually go to the website.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see how it would get viewed today because, there was no sharing device or mechanism.
I don't actually know how they pointed people at the website because there's no call to action on that ad. There may have been on the shorter version. It's an interesting point, actually, in that... Do you think so YouTube was launched that year, pre or around, even, for the year or 2 years following that, do you think TVs were more important?
Yeah.
TVs are just not important because anymore,
it wasn't, they weren't, it wasn't about smart TVs. It was, it was just on the verge, wasn't it? It was
a very good friend of mine has just bought a TV, or 6 months ago she bought it. And the major selling point for her was the fact that it's completely flat. And it's an LG product, and it's mounted on the wall. And when it's not playing, when you're not watching the TV, it shows images. So it turns into, for instance,
a picture frame.
Yeah. So you can either show your own photographs, or you can buy art.
Mm.
So it turns into effectively a piece of art.
Yeah,
which I thought was really interesting.
It does on our smart TV upstairs when it's on sleep mode.
But this thing is called the LG Frame.
It actually stands on a tripod, I think, and an easel.
The easel is more fucking expensive than the TV.
Yeah.
12.1 points.
Well,
that's fairly poor.
I'm sorry.
As we will see when we do a little bonus episode in the next week or so, which will take us through looking at the point scores of the 21 ads that we've reviewed since we started doing this nonsense. Thanks very much, Tones.
Thanks, Steve.
Very enjoyable. Once
Bravia.
Again. Balls. Balls.
Ping pong balls.
No, they were super balls.
Okay, they must
that's
be.
Why they had to have really super. That's why they had to prop cars.
The big balloon disaster. That's amazing. They tried to launch a million balloons. I think they got a million or something. Something ridiculous.
Have you ever tried something with an ad that just went completely wrong? That didn't work. I'm trying to think if
well, yeah, but it was never going to work from the beginning, kind of thing.
But you didn't actually get to the stage where you binned like $500,000 and had a crew on set.
No, the other opposite actually is that some of the best stuff, it was done during the lunch break of another ad.
A lot of stuff does turn out a lot better than you originally thought it would, is in my experience.
Yeah.
Although maybe that's my shit worldview. It's going to go wrong.
Parallel to our lives.
It's everything's going to shit. It's all going to go wrong.
That would have been the most boring shoot to be on.
They also reckon. I would have thought it'd be quite interesting. A quarter of a million balls going downhill.
You say they're those Super Bowls, but when you look at them, the light shines through them. They're translucent.
Some of them are Super Bowls. They're all kind of different.
All coming out now.
That's not what I said. I said some of them are Super Bowls.
Snuck a few little pinkies in there. But there's 240,000 Super Bowls. Yeah, really? The 240,000 Super Bowls. Really? What, is that in the budget? Yeah, we 240 Super Bowls. So what are the ones I can see through? Oh, that's
they wanted
pimples.
To do it originally with a million balls, but they couldn't find a million balls. A million coloured balls.
They should have got 20 balls.
And apparently there was a ball drought in the USA for quite a while. 250,000 balls.
Balls out. Was it? That's what Packer said, isn't it? That was his
ball drought.
His philosophy on business. Everyday boys, balls out.
Good on you. Thanks, Tone.
Oh, sorry. Are we still
the bloke with the bobcats having a riot next door, isn't he?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.